Well, maybe we can just begin with a quick word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together and these beautiful hymns we can sing remind us of that love of our Savior, the great price that he paid. And now we just, as we come to the close of these meetings, we seek thy help for a few more moments as we open thy word. Ask thy gracious mercy, our Father, as we pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, when Don called me, I was not anticipating that call at all. And I said, well, I'm going to think about it. A verse had struck me recently that as we closed out in our assembly reading back home in Walla Walla, the book of Philippians, the last verse of that book impressed me and got me to thinking about it. And as I visited around here with different ones, I think every one of us that were here last year, as we look back on what has transpired between that year and this, we'd have to say it was a difficult year. There were many things that tried us. And let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 to start with. You know, we're coming to the close of another beautiful time together, considering the Word of God, considering those blessings that are ours. And we've had some words to stir us up in the pathway, and they're needed. Because just like last year, you know, we didn't anticipate to be here this year. We expected to be home in the glory. But you know, if we're left here longer, we don't know what we're going to face. Maybe we'll all face some difficult things. But this verse really struck me. And I'm going to read it in the New Translation, the way it is rendered in the New Translation. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with, should read, your spirit. It's very interesting if you begin to look at that. There's three epistles that Paul wrote that end with that same expression, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There's one that he writes that we're going to look at too. In fact, let's turn to that, back to over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Similar, but a little different. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you, amen. You know, it got me thinking something that's been much upon my own heart in the last while. I think many of us have felt it. And that is the matter of our spirits. You know, so often when we think about having a right spirit, we often think, well, somebody did me something wrong, and how am I going to meet it? And that is true. It's a part of it. But you know what so impressed me as I was meditating on this is that in all four of these places, and the other one is in Galatians, and then in Philemon, the last verse of Galatians, it says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And in the last verse of Philemon, it's "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And it is interesting as you think of those epistles that Paul is writing that he would say that. In fact, I would think if I would have been writing it, I probably would have added that to the end of 1 Corinthians as well. But he didn't. But what's interesting is that when he addresses this point, he gives the Lord Jesus Christ. He expresses it. He gives the full title of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've had that this weekend as we've considered different things. We have the Lord Jesus, we've had Christ, we've had different things, but he gives him his full title. And you know, there's many younger ones here amongst us. And it does good, I think, to stop. We say this so often, Lord Jesus Christ. It's just kind of like it rolls off our tongues. It's just natural to us. But do we ever stop and consider the significance of that title? And what it meant in relation to our spirits here? The title Lord brings before us the thought of the one who is supreme authority, the one who has all right to do whatever he desires in this scene. He's Lord. If you were Lord, as you go through your life, would you meet things the way he's meeting things today? We're going to turn to a passage of Scripture that I thought of as I was considering, especially the expression in Timothy. Maybe it'll help us a little. But now Jesus, you know, we're familiar with that. We had last night, Jeff spoke to us about knowing a man. We know when we hear that name, Jesus, brings before us the thought of the man. The man we know as our Savior, but the man who walked through this scene. And you can trace his pathway, and you can see how he met every circumstance that he faced. Then we have the thought of Christ, God's anointed one. You know, it was really, he was the Messiah, but he was God's anointed. He was the one that God, as it were, showed that was the expression of who he was, of what he was. And appreciate it. I don't want to give credit to the wrong person, but whoever it was that turned us to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians there, I really appreciated that first verse when I was thinking of this. And I'll just read it here in 2 Corinthians 10. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. There he is, that one who's God's anointed, and he was that meek, that gentle one. But you know, there are many things that test our spirits. And we're going to turn back to the Gospel of Luke and look at a couple of examples there, where I think perhaps we can see examples of where if the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ had been with the spirit of his disciples, they would have not acted the way they did. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. But Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. Whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, all the same shall be great. Well, I think each one of us, as we search our own hearts, have to admit that this is very, very real to us, very near. Which is going to be the greatest? We won't stand up here and say, I'm the greatest. We know better than that. But what is governing my spirit? You know, when we speak about our spirits, what are we speaking about? We've had a lot in these meetings about the Spirit of God, that divine person that indwells us, that one who is the strength for our pathway, that one who leads us into the truth and all that we've had. But this isn't that spirit. I'll do what Bruce Conrad does, you young men, you have your concordances pretty close by probably. If you look that up in Strong's, it's very helpful. And it will say something like this, the spirit, one of the thoughts under it is, it's the vital principle by which the body is animated. The vital principle by which the body is animated. And to go along with that, it's the disposition or the influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. It's the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. It is that inward part of our beings that is influencing, it's governing how I'm going to meet the things I face. And that is why it is so important that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirits. So that that man, that person, in whatever way we want to look at him as Lord, as Jesus, as Christ, has filled my soul. So that when things come, that's the influence that I'm under. And I can meet things in a right way. We speak so often about, well, I need to have a right spirit. You know, I can't have that apart from that man filling, influencing my heart. And so here, these ones were debating about who's going to be the greatest. They didn't know what it was to have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with their spirits. Because if they had, they would have recognized that here was a man who was a humble, a lowly man. A man who was not seeking exaltation, though he was Lord of all. Though he could have done whatever he wanted, he didn't. He was here to, in grace and in lowliness to man. Let's go on to the next one, verse 49. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Again, it was that spirit of superiority, but there was something else behind this, I believe, that was working in the hearts of these disciples. If we would have gone back a little bit earlier in this chapter, we would have seen that they had met with a devil that they could not cast out. You know, that's would have been pretty humbling to them to meet with something that they couldn't meet with. And then they come across someone who's doing what they couldn't do. You know, it is our nature that when I am not, as we've had this weekend walking with my Lord, when I am not in the good of that love that he has for me, that I will feel a lack in my life, a lack of spiritual energy, a lack of spiritual power. And when I see it in another, I will do something to find fault with that person to make me look better or to give me something that I don't have. I think I can get by doing that rather than by opening up my heart to the Lord. And so, again, to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that values and appreciates wherever we see something that's of God, and not seeking to demean it or to think that we are on some plane that's above someone else just because maybe they're not with us. And so I feel it's very native to my own heart. I can look around and I can maybe see something of God that God is doing somewhere and feel my own lack, my own weakness. But I need that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with my spirit that I would not look at that, what's going on, in a negative way. I really need to look to the Lord about my own spirit. What is filling me? What is governing me? What is active in my soul that I would look at a situation that way? Let's go on to the next one here. Verse 51. Came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This was a verse that came to me as I was thinking about it. You know, as you look at the disciples here, and they see their Lord come into this town, and they see him rejected. He's being rejected. We need to do something about this. This isn't right. Don't they know who this person is? Don't they know that this is the Christ? We need to do something about it. And so often, when we see things maybe that are wrong, even towards the Lord, our response is, like the disciples, we need to straighten this out. And most often, I say for my own soul, I want to call fire down from heaven. I want this thing straightened out, and I want the Lord to be honored. I can use that. They wanted the Lord honored. Can you find fault with the disciples for that? The Lord did. The Lord found fault with them. He found fault with the way, the spirit they had in the matter. And you know, as you think of the book of Timothy, and you think of 2 Timothy, and you think of the last days, and you think of all that was coming in, that was going to be a dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus. It was going to be a dishonor under his name, was so contrary to him. Paul says to Timothy, the last words, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. He probably saw that there was a danger with Timothy, as there is with every one of us, when something's not right, to want to call down fire from heaven and straighten it out. And not recognize that this man has the good, the interest, the love of souls at heart. He didn't want to destroy them. He wanted them to come to blessing. He wanted them to enter into his heart. Even though they had rejected him, he wanted them to know him. And so, is that my heart? I may think, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to do what's right. But I am going to expose myself by the way I go about it. Is the Lord Jesus Christ with my spirit? Is that man, is that Lord, is that anointed one, everything to my heart so that he's governing the influences, the actions that I take? You know, rather than I trust, the Lord will spare us from having to go through what we've gone through since we last met here. But whatever comes, we need that blessed man to take a hold of our hearts. So that when things come, maybe it'll be at your work. Maybe it'll be at your school. Maybe it'll be in your family. Maybe it'll be in the assembly. But do I know him in such a way that his grace, his love, his meekness, his gentleness, all those things possess my spirit, so that I can meet things in a way that would be honoring to him? You know, if the disciples had called down fire from heaven, what damage that would have done to the glory of that man that was there, the man of grace. Let's not wrongly represent that man while we're here. May the Lord grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with our spirits the last few moments that we're left to hear. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, we thank thee for this time we've had together to reflect upon thy purposes, thy counsels, thy heart, our God. And we do thank thee for all that is in thy heart. Our Father, we are going to go back now to the grind of life, as it were. We don't know what we face, but we thank thee that we know one that we can look to for whatever we face, and one that we can call upon to help us, to guide us, to lead us. Lord Jesus, we do just pray that as we go forth from here, that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with our spirits. And Lord Jesus, if we face things that are so very difficult, like Timothy would face, that thou, Lord Jesus, would be with our spirits. And so we just bless thee. We thank thee for thy grace, thy love to us. And we do just pray for each one that could be here, each assembly. We pray for each assembly represented. We just pray, our God and Father, for thy mercy, for thy grace for each. And now as we part from here, we seek thy mercies traveling, and pray for those that are already on the roads, for thy continued mercies for them. And to our Father, for these refreshments that have been provided, we ask thy blessing upon them. Just give thee thanks again for our Lord Jesus, for his love, for his kindness in our God and our Father, for thy grace and thy heart in sending him. We bless thee, we praise thee as we give thanks and pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.